Today, we begin a new series of sermons about half-truths. Not everything that we have attributed to finding in the Bible actually belongs in the Bible. Not everything we think we could find there actually is biblical truth. This series that I'm sharing for this month is inspired by the book by Adam Hamilton, Half-Truths. Most of us, these truths that I want to share, half-truths, have things that we've come to believe colloquially, but perhaps we haven't taken the time to really think through whether or not we could go to the Bible and find where they are. And in fact, we may think if we reflect on them, we may be questioning our faith. I want to walk with us a little bit and see if we can take it apart a little bit and see where the kernel of truth is in the midst. As Jesus greeted the disciples after the resurrection, he told them to go and share the good news. But we might find ourselves asking, what exactly is the good news that he asked them to share? What is the gospel that he asked them to share? In the midst of our gospel, we pick up our Bible and we say, let's look at our tradition and our reason and our experience and the scripture itself. Let's look at the Bible. We've been formed as Methodists to take the scripture and interpret it so we can understand for ourselves what exactly it says, both here and now, as well as then and there. The passage that we heard from Deuteronomy, Moses talks about cause and effect. When we commit to God's love, law of love, there is peace in the community. However, rarely is the phrase, everything happens for a reason, used when we're talking about times of peace. Most commonly, we use that when there's times of suffering and pain. Most commonly, we use it when it's difficult and when it's unexpected. And we find that people say, it was meant to be, or it was their time, or it was, it always kind of looks like that, right? It was God's plan. And if we were to take all of this seriously, it would kind of go a little bit like this. The notion would say everything happens for a reason. We'd have to kind of play this out. Stick with me a minute. We'd have to say that then God was in charge of everything from a personal setback to a natural disaster to a minor inconvenience. And if we extended this to its natural conclusion, you and I would have to say that because the Phillies won last night, they did, I checked, God was in charge of that. And because the Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, God was in charge of that. And when you forgot your friend's birthday, it was the will of God? That doesn't even make sense. To say nothing of where we'd stretch this even further. Why would God want the death of millions? I'm going to have to go here for just a moment, friends. Stick with me. Millions in the Holocaust. And how would the death of those in school shootings and church shootings and synagogue shootings be the will of God? So everything happening for a reason is at best a half truth. And at worst, a dangerous and wrong-headed philosophy. So when we tell one another, everything happens for a reason, here's what I want to say. We undermined some personal responsibility. If we do everything as the will of God, we have no responsibility ourselves. We would not be responsible for the good or the bad. To the contrary, you and I have some responsibility, free will, for our actions. In a related way, we would make God responsible for each action. The third challenge would be, it would present some fatalism, an understanding that it doesn't matter what we do. Whatever would be, would be. You don't need to wear a bike helmet because whatever happens is going to happen. So let me share now with you, after I've shared that half-truth, a better truth. God, the creator of heaven and earth, all that is and will be, the God who is of you and me, gives us incredible life and choice. God is God. And we have made, you and I, really great choices and sometimes really not great choices. And God works through us in the midst of inevitable suffering and incredible joy. Like nudges and thoughts, we have God at work through us. I imagine you and I could tell these stories, and I think we should, for quite a long time. Have you had those times when you've learned to pay attention to thinking of someone in prayer? I've had that just recently where I was in prayer and I had someone come to mind and then called them afterwards, and that was the very moment that they were in need. Kate Buhler, a Duke Divinity professor and American historian of the prosperity gospel, was living the life. I wonder if you've heard her story. She was an expert in theology and critique of health and wealth, husband and toddler at home, plum job in the place she always wanted. 35 years old, when she received a diagnosis of stage 4 colon cancer about 3 years ago. Very quickly, her research became personal. She had been fighting and has been really successfully fighting ever since then. Her research about the prosperity gospel has been punctuated with this chorus: everything happens for a reason, because that's what people have been telling her. For a woman who grew up on the prairies of Manitoba, Canada, she was surrounded by a community of Mennonites who wanted the financial and emotional and spiritual relief and a story of success. She had some skepticism about how that was going to come out. It birthed her scholarship. She wrote the book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. I thought, as I read her book, of our own brave church family. I thought of all those on our prayer list and the people that we have been praying for. And those who have been living out that same kind of courage, day in and day out, the way we, too, have been visiting and loving one another, the way we've been caring for one another as well. Instead of the half-truth, everything happens for a reason, she offers these words, and I've been hearing them here as well. Let me share them. She says first, I'd love to bring you a meal, Can I email you when that would be? And she writes this, because I've heard you all say it too. Oh, thank goodness. I'm starving. I can never figure out what to ask anybody for. Thank you so much. Bring me anything. Chocolate, a potted plant, a weird set of erasers. I can't remember the first gift I had that wasn't that. Send me funny emails. Do something that suits your taste. But love on me, she writes. Then she says, tell them they're a beautiful person. Tell your friend something about his or her life without making it feel like a eulogy. This sounds like what we have been doing to the brave folks on our prayer list. Thanks be to God. As I hear the stories of the way we're caring for one another, this is what I heard as well. Number three, she says, I'm so grateful to hear how you're doing. Just know I'm on your team. You mean I don't have to give you an update? Thank you. Number four, she says, can I give you a hug? Some of my best moments are when someone has just been with me. Doesn't that sound exactly the same? Number five, oh, my friend, that sounds kind of hard. Thanks be to God for the ways in which we care well for one another. And number six, silence. The truth is, sometimes there's nothing. About 9 years ago, I was visiting a friend up in Massachusetts when I was awoken very early in the morning. And I wasn't sure why I was awoken in the morning, but I've learned just to wake up. And I just prayed. I put my cell phone in my pocket, and I just began to pray. At 9 a.m., I received a phone call. A young woman, 20 years old, named Tracy, whose kitchen I had been sitting in just a week earlier. Her mom called me. Earlier that morning, a tractor trailer had veered into the wrong lane and had killed her. The reverberation through the high school community and the dental hygienist community where she was studying echoed loudly. You can only begin to imagine the deep love there was for Tracy. And it continues to echo. What continues to move through me, though, is not the trite or the cliche phrases that were offered to her mom and her sister on that day or the days that followed, but the faith that matured and that widened in her mom and in her stepdad. Please be careful to hear me say this. God did not depend on that kind of suffering to achieve God's purposes. But through inevitable pain and grief, sometimes our faith grows. I wonder how many of us here could add testimony to that as well. In the season of Eastertide, let us stand on those witnesses and the witness of others, where we too have seen the risen Christ, wounds and all, and share our witness with one another. This, my friends, is the gospel truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.